Hey, it's Amelia, aka Big Tit.
And I'm Natasha, aka Little Tit.
And together, we're the Graveyard Girls.
Hello.
And welcome. Oh, no.
No, we don't do that anymore.
No, Natasha. Well.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, you've activated the printer.
Well, I'm keeping this all in. So okay, we've got another true crime for our True Crime and Mysteries podcast today.
Yeah.
So, have you ever heard of the Vampire of Hanover, the Butcher of Hanover, or the Wolfman?
No. Are they all the same person?
They are all the same person, just different names.
Okay.
The Vampire one and the Butcher, it makes sense. The Wolf one, I'm not too sure about.
Is it going back quite a few hundred years?
No.
Oh. I didn't know if it was at the time. You know, like, we had werewolf trials after the witch trials. I didn't know if it sort of, like, followed on from that. It sounds like it could be from that era.
That's a good theory. No, our story begins in Hanover in the German Empire in 1897.
Okay, so not that long ago.
The 25th of October, to be precise, where the sixth and final child of Johanna and Olli Harmon were born.
Mm-hmm.
This child was a born. This child was born. A boy who was named Frederick Heinrich Karl Harmon, also known as Fritz.
Okay. You know when you look back at a lot of serial killers,
mm-hmm.
they tend to have that as their name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it a thing? You know, like I was saying, like lots of Amelia's murder children.
There was a lot, yeah. Looking through this person's victims, I was just like, that's a lot of... got a lot of similar names. I think it's just a common name.
Okay.
I'm also not too sure if you've actually done this case. I don't think you have.
No, I don't think I have.
Okay, good.
I'd have remembered.
Good.
I hope.
So I don't believe Johanna and Ollie's marriage was a happy one. Ollie was 7 years younger than Johanna, and it's reported that she was 41 when they married, and he only married her due to her wealth and the dowry that he would eventually get.
Without sounding harsh, she's quite old.
At this time, yeah. When it was like she was reported, I was just like, she's had six children.
She already had six children by the time she gets married?
I don't know. It wasn't clear.
Or she having six children after that?
That's what
I mean, she's like, well...
Yeah. Unless, like, it's one after the other. That's
which would
still...
be quite common for the time. Cause
yeah,
it's not really contraceptive.
That's a lot. Yeah, when I saw that, I was just like, okay.
Yeah, but then, like, she'll still be popping them out when she's 50 years old. Can you imagine? Like, I don't want to push out a child now, let alone when I'm 50 years old.
No. Yeah, I was just like, okay, I'll keep that in.
Okay.
So, yes, he believed he would get a dowry. He had numerous affairs and he contracted syphilis. He was an authoritarian but had little time for his children. They stayed together until she died in 1901.
He sounds like a knob.
Oh yeah, he is. So Fritz was a very quiet child and only played with his siblings. He didn't have any friends his own age.
I already have in my head he's just a weird child that kind of stares at other children.
Yes.
Like a bit of a lurker.
He's a bit of a strange child. So at the time, and from an early age, his behaviour appeared to be very feminine. So obviously during this time, it's like, you should be manly, you should
but
be
is
doing
it also,
man things.
I don't... stereotypical gay men are portrayed as very feminine. Could this be... Is it more noticeable back then because being gay was so frowned upon?
Yes. He was a gay man.
Okay.
But obviously it's not obviously allowed.
Obviously I know not all gay men are feminate, but...
Yes.
When you, stereotypically...
Yes.
When you look at
he
it.
He is like... It just annoys me because it was like he preferred playing with his sister's dolls and he dressed up in their clothes.
Oh, yes, a proper stereotypical.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like his mother spoiled him so that they were very close and he enjoyed needlework and cooking. I was just like, it doesn't mean it's feminine.
Well, it is for the time, but yeah.
But I think also maybe his mother did mollycoddle him.
Yeah.
Mollycoddled him, sorry.
Yeah, she probably like, she encouraged it as well. So not... He might have maybe chosen to do those things, but was he also more pushed?
Maybe, I don't know. He didn't have a good
childhood. Because he's the youngest, right?
Yes, he's the youngest.
So I feel like that's the last one that she's had, and she's sort of like, she maybe doesn't want to let go. Like, she's not having any more
children.
He's her baby. So, yeah. Smothered him, effectively.
Yes. In 1886, Fritz began his school, and here it was noted by teachers that he appeared to be a spoiled and mollycoddled child and was prone to daydreaming. He wasn't great academically at school, and he was held back a year twice.
Right, okay.
I'm not sure what year.
Oh, so he's really struggling then.
Yeah. When he was about 8 years old, Fritz was molested by one of his teachers. Oh. He never discussed this in detail, but it's believed.
So how do they know that?
I think he just mentioned it. It was never like what actually happened. He's just said it happened.
But he also sounds like he'd be an easy target.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know if this, like...
Not that makes it right, but... No. Do you know what I mean? Like, some kids, like, they think, oh, they're not really going to say anything. They don't understand.
Exactly. And I also think this might be a catalyst, maybe.
Oh, yeah, might trigger other things, okay. Mm-hmm.
With his parents' consent, he finished school... he finished his schooling in 1894.
Yeah.
He briefly got a job as a locksmith before deciding at 15 he wanted to join the military.
I can't imagine him in the military.
No, he didn't last very long. So he initially adapted to military life, but 5 months in, he was diagnosed with being equivalent, in quotes, to epilepsy, as he was having a periodic lapse in consciousness. So it wasn't epilepsy.
Would that be linked? You know how they said he daydreamed a lot as a child?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's linked? Like, it's the same thing, but they just didn't really understand it.
Maybe.
So they said, like, they think he's, like, zoned out. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. But I think he physically lost consciousness, like, he's not there.
It's hard to tell for the time, because is it just a case of a person's not responding? You know, like, when they looked at, because some of the things I've looked at for other stuff, it was like, oh, fits of, like, seizures, but it wasn't. It was like they just went blank for a bit. So, like, it wasn't a seizure as what we would think of as a seizure.
It's just weird that it was, like, equivalent to epilepsy.
That's why I'm wondering if it's, like, the daydreaming thing. It's like they don't really know what it is, and they're like, it's kind of like it, but it's like, because, like, when you're in a seizure, like, you're not really very coherent, like, you're having a fit, but I suppose this is the same, but it's like they've gone blank.
Yeah.
So, in their head, would they still think it's a type of seizure?
Maybe.
Which is why they put the equivalent.
Because
they're not responsive still, are they? Like, in a fit,
the
person isn't necessarily responsive. It's just another form of that, isn't it?
Maybe.
It's really hard to tell, isn't it?
Especially, like,
I think they don't really know either, to be fair.
Yeah, that's why they're like, quotes.
Okay.
So he discharged himself from the military and returned to Hanover, where he briefly worked in a cigar factory that his father had established in 1880.
Oh, so the family's got a decent amount of money then?
Mm.
Okay.
So a little slight trigger warning here. At age 16, Fritz committed his first known sexual offences.
Oh.
All of which involved young boys who were lured to secluded areas, typically cellars, before proceeding to sexually abuse them. He was first arrested for committing this crime in July 1896.
I don't like this.
No, you're not going to like this at all.
Okay. Like, I don't like children, but I also don't condone that behaviour either.
No. Following further offences, the Division of Criminal Matters opted to place Fitz in a mental institution in February 1897.
Mm-hmm.
He was briefly transferred to Hanover Hospital for psychiatric evaluation. He would be certified as being incurably deranged and unfit to stand trial.
Right.
A psychiatrist ordered Fritz to be confined at the mental institution indefinitely. He was returned to the institution 28th of May 1897, 7 months later.
I'm surprised they didn't, well, they might have done it. I'm surprised they didn't chemically castrate him. Because that was really typical for the time.
Was
especially
it?
Especially linked anyone with a lot of sexual offences.
Mm. In Germany, though?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe not.
Germany? Germany.
Because I know a lot
different.
Of art doctors went over and travelled and, like, learned in Germany. So I just presume that's where they picked a lot of the practices up from.
Mm. Yeah.
Because, you know, like, if it's an inmate in a hospital, like, if that's what the offence are, if they're being deviant. But that's what it was. They just used to chemically castrate them.
Unfortunately, they did not with this case. So, yeah, 7 months later, in January 1898, Fritz escaped the mental institution. And with the apparent assistance from his mother, he fled to Zurich in Switzerland. There he lived with a relative of his mother and obtained employment as a handyman in a shipyard.
Oh, okay.
Fritz remained in Zurich for 16 months before he returned to Hanover in April 1899. Earlier the following year, he became engaged to a woman named Erna Lowert, and she soon became pregnant. Now, there's nothing of her after this.
Okay. So where did she go? I mean, to be fair, he's obviously interested in men.
Yeah.
So he might have just lost interest in her, or she knew it. She thought, fuck it. I'm off.
So for the next decade, Fritz primarily lived as a petty thief, a burglar, or a con artist. Beginning in 1905, he served several short prison sentences for offences such as larceny, embezzlement, and assault.
Mm-hmm.
On one occasion, while working legitimately as an invoice clerk, Fritz became acquainted with a female employee. They seemed to rob several tombstones and graves between 1905 and 1913. He wasn't charged.
What are they robbing from the actual bodies?
I don't know. It just says they robbed several tombstones and graves. I don't know what they actually took.
Okay.
I thought.
I'm hoping just the belongings and not the bodies. I don't. Not that it makes any better, but.
No. So he was never charged with this, but he admitted doing it. Fritz spent majority of the years between 1905 and 1912 in jail. So in late 1913, Fritz was arrested for burglary. A search of his home revealed a hoard of stolen property linking him to several other burglaries.
Right.
Despite protesting his innocence, he was charged with and convicted of a series of burglaries and frauds. He was then sentenced to 5 years imprisonment for these crimes. Again, upon his release from prison in...
I'm surprised they didn't conscript him in the war.
I think because of his earlier military thingy... of his consciousness. They did allow him to leave prison occasionally during the war because they needed manpower, but they wouldn't. He did fight in the war later on, but it has nothing to do with the crimes.
Okay.
So upon his release from prison in 1918, he initially moved to Berlin before opting to return to Hanover, where he briefly lived with one of his sisters before renting a single room apartment in late August 1918. And with a lot of people after the war, he struggled to make a living and he soon reverted back to his old ways.
Oh, it's like petty crime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Despite police knowing that Fritz was a known criminal and known homosexual, he began to establish a relationship with law enforcement as an informant.
Oh, okay. I wondered where you were going there. When he said started a relationship, I thought he was like having sex with all the police officers. But okay, no, it's all right. You finished the sentence.
He might have had one. This was largely as a means of redirecting the attention of the police from himself in his own criminal activities and to facilitate his access to young men.
I mean, clever on his part.
He is a very clever man. Yeah.
I'll give him that.
Yeah, I'll give him that. I mean, with this being a killer, I think you kind of have to be, don't you?
Yeah. I don't know. There's some stupid ones out there.
So with the cooperation of several police officers, Fritz devised a ruse whereby he would offer to fence or store stolen property at his premises. So he would hold on to it, hold on to the evidence, then pass the information on to the police, who would then raid his property at the agreed times and arrest all those who were in to buy the stolen property. To remove any suspicion that he was part of the thing, he himself would be arrested in these raids, and sometimes he himself would perform citizens' arrest under commuters for offences such as travelling on forged documents. As a result of these activities, the police began to rely on Fritz as a reliable source of information regarding various criminal activities in Hanover, and he was allowed to patrol the station largely at will.
Oh, I can see where this might go wrong.
Okay, so it's going to be a bit more gory from here on in. Okay.
We've been warned.
Between 1918 and 1924, Fritz committed at least 24 murders, although he is suspected of murdering a minimum of 27.
Right, okay.
All of his victims were males between the ages of 10 and 22. Oh. Most of them were teenagers.
Okay.
The victims were lured back to three addresses which he had throughout the years. He was known to have killed them upon the promise of assistance, accommodation, work, or under the pretense of arrest. At Fritz's apartment, the victims were typically given food and drink before Fritz bit into their Adam's apple.
What? How did... What?
And that he would strangle them. Often this caused the victim to die of asphyxiation, but on several occasions, Fritz bit completely through the victim's Adam's apple and trachea. He called this a love bite.
It's a bit more than a love bite. Is that where the love bites came from?
I hope not. So, yeah.
How do you bite through?
I don't know. Like, just the...
Is it caught... This is a really stupid question now I'm thinking about it, because I don't really think about Adam's apple. Is it more... I thought it was, like, quite cartilage-y, but is it just muscle?
I have no idea.
I always thought it was, like, cartilage.
Like, he's determined to get through that.
Yeah,
I mean,
like, tearing through, like, fucking ripping them out. I get where the wolf thing later comes in, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they'd go for your neck, wouldn't they?
Yeah, to be
Same
fair.
Same with the vampire, yeah, it makes the vampire. Sense.
Butcher. Yeah.
Yeah, you are butchering them. Yeah, all the names are quite appropriate.
Yeah. All of Fritz's known victims were dismembered before their bodies were discarded, usually in the Lein River.
So is he the one that gave the records of the Adam's apple thing? Because if they've been dismembered, how do they know that that's what he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although the dismembered body of his first known victim was simply buried and the body of his last victim was thrown in the lake, located at the entrance of the Herrenhausen Gardens.
Oh.
Looks like a very nice house.
Not so much with the dead body in it.
No. So Fritz typically kept his victim's personal possessions for himself or his lover.
Oh.
Who goes by the name of Hans Granz.
Oh.
or Hans Granz. And I was just like, strange. Yeah. And then I will get into Hans Granz.
Right, okay.
Hans Granz, I don't know how to
Do they end up, like, sort of working together?
The possessions were usually sold on the black market through criminal contacts before both men had established at Hanover Central Station. However, the personal possessions of some of the victims were sold to legitimate retailers.
Right.
In several instances, both Fritz and Granz gave possessions belongings to various victims to acquaintances as gifts.
Oh.
Yes. So Fritz's first known victim was a 17-year-old runaway named Friedel Roth. Or Rothy, I'm not too sure. When Rothy disappeared on 25th of September 1918, his friends told police he was last seen with Fritz. Under pressure from Roth's family, police raided Fritz's apartment October 1918, where they found their informer in the company of a semi-naked 13-year-old boy.
Oh.
He was charged with both the sexual assault and battery of that child and sentenced to 9 months imprisonment. Fritz later said to detectives that when they searched his apartment, the head of Friedel was stowed behind the stove wrapped in newspaper.
Oh.
So following the rest after, like, Fritz has all been, like, he's murdered all these 24, 27 people, rumours circulated that Fritz ate the flesh of his victims or sold it on the black market as pork or horse meat.
Oh, it's like my thingy one where she made, what was it?
The fat.
Fat, yeah.
Because there's no evidence of this, but he is known to be an active trader in contraband meat.
Oh, that's someone's arm or arse.
Yes, and most of it was boneless, diced, and usually sold as ground meat. So, yeah.
I mean, that's one way to get rid... You know, going back to our other episodes about how to get away with murder, that's one way to get rid of the bodies afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So his lover, Hans Granz, he was only 18.
Oh.
He stated that although his sexual orientation was heterosexual, he himself initiated contact with Fritz with the intention of prostituting himself, having heard that Fritz was a homosexual through acquaintances he had found in Hanover.
Right, okay.
So he's homeless on the street. He needs...
So I wonder what possessed it so that Fritz like decided, oh, I won't kill this one afterwards. I'll keep him.
He does say that he, even though he knew that he didn't love him and that like he knew he was manipulating him, he kind of like, he was always there.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like he was lonely.
I'm surprised he didn't kill him off.
Maybe he was, I think he might have genuinely loved him, but he realised that it's not reciprocated.
It wasn't mutual. Yeah. Hmm.
So after the 9 months that he originally served for the sexual assault and battery, he was released in 1920.
Yeah.
This is when he gained the police and became, gained the trust of the police and became an informant again. Through criminal contacts, Fritz became aware of a vacant ground floor apartment located in a densely populated old house located alongside the river.
Right.
Fritz secured a letting agreement with the landlady that he was only going to use it for storage purposes. But then he and Granz moved in 1921.
Right.
In 1923, he began killing more of his victims, largely consisting of young male commuters, runaways, and occasionally male prostitutes, who he would typically encounter in or around Hanover's Central Railway Station.
Right.
5 weeks after his second murder, he committed his third. It's not known if Hans knew about these killings or whether he knew anything about it yet.
Mm.
Two young neighbours of Fritz disappeared at this time too. It's not known if they are his victims or not.
Right, okay.
So Hans is not, it's believed he's not aware that he knows about this. On 9th June 1923, Fritz moved into a single room attic apartment. 2 weeks after moving into this address, on the 25th of June, Ernst Ehrenberg, the 13-year-old son of Fritz's neighbour, disappeared running an errand for his dad.
Hmm.
His school cap and braces would be found in Fritz's apartment following his arrest.
Oh.
And I thought they meant like teeth braces, but I assumed like trouser braces.
Yeah.
On 17th of May.
Easy pickings, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, it's just like, just children. 17th of May 1924, two children playing near the river discovered a human skull.
Oh.
Determined to be that of a young male aged between the ages of 18 and 20 and bearing evidence of knife wounds, police were skeptical as to whether a murder had been committed or whether the skull had either been discarded in the location by grave robbers or placed there in a tasteless prank by medical students.
I mean, yeah, all those, I get why, because I bet a lot of stuff at that time got dumped.
Mm.
Not that it's nice to just dump someone's skull in the thing, but still.
2 weeks later, a second skull was found.
Oh.
This was close to the other skull. This skull was also identified as having been that of a young male aged between the ages of 18 and 20. What's he
doing, throwing them out the window of his attic? Because he's got the river on one side, he's just plopping them out.
Maybe. So shortly after this, two boys playing in a field close to the village nearby discovered a sack containing numerous human bones. Two more skulls would be found on June 13th. One in the banks of the river.
Yeah.
Another located to a mill in West Hanover. Each of these skulls had been removed from the vertebrae with a sharp instrument.
Ooh.
One skull belonged to a male in his late teens, whereas the other belonged to a boy estimated who was aged between the ages of 11 and 13.
Oh, so not very old at all.
One of these skulls also had evidence of being scalped.
Oh.
Mm. It's a
He's getting a bit experimental, isn't it? Like, some of them he's all killing the same, then just one day he goes, oh, I wonder if... it's not the same, but you know when, like, you're doing, like, arts and crafty stuff? Like,
yeah.
You get in a routine of doing some things, and then one day, like, you kind of experiment with it a bit. Yeah. Is that what he's doing?
Maybe. It's a tough case to read, and I was just like, do I want to do this one? It's just like, I'm not doing all the murders, but okay. I will list the names of people. Because okay. I was just like...
There's a lot.
Yeah. For more than a year prior to these discoveries, rumors had circulated in Hanover about the fate of the sheer number of children and teenagers who had been reported missing.
Yeah, and it's a bit suspicious they're all going missing in the, like, the same few streets.
And then obviously the discovery sparked fresh rumors regarding the missing and murdered children. In addition, various newspapers responded to these discoveries and resulting rumors.
What I don't get is, if he's always doing, is he doing stuff for the police at this point?
Yeah.
If they're always in contact with him, how have they not noticed that, like, there's just, like, chopped up people in his place all of the time?
Well, I don't
think... Or is he going to the police?
He's going to them.
Right.
His pickup spot is the railway station.
Because, like, I feel like he's doing a lot of work for the police. Like, he's working for them almost every day, almost like a job. Mm. Where does he find the time to...
Oh, he's
kill these people.
He's finding them on the job.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, like, his way in as an informant, he's just like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this. I think, like, it's his way to get access to the young men. Maybe, like, ones he doesn't find attractive, he's like, yeah, you need to arrest that one. And then he takes the other one.
Yeah.
The ones that he finds attractive.
Yeah, because it would have been a lot of kids would have been doing things like pickpocketing. They would have been picked up all the time by the police, so they would have took them in for, like, fingerprints and stuff, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm not done yet.
Okay.
So, on 8th of June, several hundred Hanover residents converged close to the river and surfed both of the banks and surrounding areas, and they discovered a number of human bones, which they handed over to the police.
Right.
In response to these latest discoveries, the police decided to drag the entire section of the river which ran through the centre of the city.
And there they discovered 3,000 bodies.
In doing so, they discovered more than 500 further human bones and sections of bodies, many bearing knife striations. And then... Which these
That's
were
a lot for one person.
Yeah.
Surely some of those must have been dumped.
A doctor confirmed that these belonged to at least 22 separate human beings.
Right, okay. Okay, so not as many. Yeah, it's not like it's 500. I was going to say, because if not, he's like really busy. He's like doing a few a night.
Mm. So suspicion of suspicion of the discoveries quickly fell upon Fritz, who was known to both the police and the criminal investigation department as a homosexual, who had amassed 15 previous convictions dating from 1896 for various offences, including child molestation and the sexual assault and battery of a minor.
Right.
Moreover, he had been connected to the 1918 disappearances of Friedel and a 14-year-old named Hermann Koch, who disappeared weeks prior to Friedel.
Right.
Fritz was placed under surveillance.
Oh, so they're not even fucking arrested him. It's all right, we'll catch him in the act.
Well, you can't, if you, they suspect him, they don't have evidence.
How many did he kill in between then? Just for what? Oh no, there's a boy going up. Should we intervene? No, we've got to let him kill it first, and then...
Yeah, it's like, but yeah, they might just be like, you know. So, obviously, being a trusted police informant, he was known to frequent Hanover Central Station. As he was well known by many officers from Hanover, two young policemen were drafted from Berlin to pose as undercover officers and discreetly observe his movements.
Mm.
So this began on 18th of June 1924. On the night of the 22nd of June,
yeah,
Fritz was observed by the two undercover police officers prowling the station. He was soon observed arguing with a 15-year-old boy named Carl Fromm. So after arguing with Carl, he approached police and insisted they arrest the youth on the charge of traveling with forged documents.
Right.
Upon his arrest, Fromm informed police he had been living with Fritz for 4 days and that he had been repeatedly raped by his accuser, sometimes with a knife held to his throat. Fritz was then arrested the following morning and charged with sexual assault. Following his arrest, his attic apartment was searched. The flooring, walls, and bedding were found to be extensively bloodstained.
Oh, the smell. I can smell it. Because blood has that really strong...
Yeah, like metallic... You know blood. Yeah. You know blood. If you smell it, you... Yeah.
So it's not even like cleaning up afterwards. Jesus Christ.
Especially like living with... Well,
other people. Like, imagine, you know, when you think about the dolls, like, imagine as soon as you open the door, like, it smells meaty.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, off meat like, as well.
Yeah, and you go in and you go, oh, what's that smelling? Goes, don't worry about it. Oh, you've got a lot of red paint in here.
I'm going to worry about it.
Right, okay.
So, the clothes and personal possessions that I spoke about earlier, these were found at his apartment, and these were confiscated and put on display at Hanover Police Station, with the parents of the missing teenagers coming all across Germany, invited to have a look at the items.
Right, okay, to see if they could identify mm-hmm. them. Right, okay.
As days passed, an increasing number of items were identified by family members as having belonged to their sons or brothers. Oh. Fritz initially attempted to dismiss these being in his possessions. They were like, oh, it's just circumstantial.
It's Hans Granz.
It's Hans Granz. That's just a weird name. As soon as I saw it, I was just like, for God's sake. So yeah, he's saying like, oh, they was like, they traded them in like used clothing with other items being left at his apartment when he was like engaging in sexual activity, whether it was consensual or not.
Yeah.
Police didn't believe him. The turning point came when on the 29th of June, clothes, boots and keys found stowed at Fritz's apartment were identified as belonging to a missing 18-year-old named Robert Witzel.
Right.
A skull which had been found in a garden on the 20th of May was identified that of Robert. A friend of Robert identified Fritz as being the last person he saw his friends with.
Oh. Boop,
we got him. So,
took them long enough.
Faced with this latest evidence, and upon the urging of his sister, apparently, Fritz confessed to raping, killing, and dismembering many young men, mm-hmm. which he initially described as a rabid sexual passion between the years of 1918.
Is he killing them while he's having sex with
1924. I don't know. I assume so.
Because I feel like that's what gets him off.
I think so. Like that biting.
Yeah. And then like squirming around in the bed.
Yeah, because... Ugh. According to him, he never intended to murder any of these, but he would be
seized. Oh, yeah, he took it too far one time, yeah.
He was seized by the irresistible urge to bite in and through their apple.
I don't think...
And then he would strangulate them, and then in the throes of ecstasy... I can't say ecstasy again, Amelia.
Ecstasy.
I'm not saying ecstasy.
Ecstasy.
And before... He would collapse on top of them. So I think it is in the act.
Right, okay. Yeah, and there's just blood spurting everywhere.
When asked how many victims he had killed, Fritz claimed somewhere between 50 and 70.
Oh, nice. Charming man.
The police, however, could only connect Fritz with the disappearance of 27 men mm-hmm. or boys. The trial of Fritz Harmon and Hans Granz...
The hand grand. It all sounds like you should have like grand hands.
Yeah, got grand hands. That began on the 4th of December 1924. Fritz was charged with the murder of 27 boys and young men who had disappeared between September 1918 and June 1924. Hans Granz pleaded not guilty to charges of being accessory to murder in several of the murders.
Yeah.
The trial lasted barely 2 weeks, and a total of 190 witnesses testified.
Oof. Is this like family and friends of the deceased?
Yeah, and I think people in like the train station, people who would have been around, people who...
Because the criminals that got arrested because of him.
Yeah, it's like, I saw him. So on 19th of December 1924, court reconvened.
Yeah.
That's why I imagined together. Court reconvened to impose sentence upon both defendants. Fritz was found guilty of 24 of the 27 murders and sentenced to death by beheading.
Oh.
He was acquitted of 3 of the murders, which he denied committing.
That's quite late on for beheading.
I know. That's why I wanted to do it.
I thought we were only doing hanging by this point. I mean, no. I know it's in Germany, but I thought we were only hanging.
Yeah. No.
There we go.
So this one, I'm not sure who gets the worst deal. So Hans Granz, he became hysterical upon hearing he had been found guilty of incitement to murder.
Right.
And he was sentenced to death by beheading.
Right.
In relation to one of the murders, with an addition of a sentence of 12 years imprisonment imposed for being an accessory to murder. So why is he being killed? Why is Fritz being beheaded like straight away? Why is Hans Granz being sentenced to 12
also,
years?
Also, the way you said it was like the beheader, and they're just going to leave his corpse in prison for 12 years.
No, I think he gets 12 years first. And they might leave his body there. But no, I think it's 12 years and then he's beheaded.
Okay.
So why should Fritz be beheaded first? Mm. Surely he should...
Maybe they're scared he's going to do another escape act.
Mm.
Because he's done it once before.
So, I didn't know this, but in accordance with German tradition, Fritz was not informed of his execution date until the evening before.
Okay.
So at 6 o'clock in the morning of the 15th of April, 1925, Fritz was beheaded by guillotine in the grounds of Hanover Prison. So I am going to read out all the names of the people he is supposed to be, and it's going to take some time.
Okay.
Okay. So he's suspected of killing Hermann Koch, Friedel Roth, suspected of killing Hans Keimes, Fritz Franke, Wilhelm Schulz, Roland Hut, Hans Sonnenfeld, Ernst Einenberg, Heinrich Strub, Paul Broniskowski, Richard Graf, Wilhelm Arden, Harmon Wolf, Heinz Brinkmann, Adolf Hannenapple, Adolf Heinies, Ernst Biker, Heinrich Koch, Willy Zenger, Hermann Speichert, Hermann Bock, Alfred Hoggrief, Wilhelm Apple, Robert Weitzel, Heinz Martin, Fritz Wittig, Friedrich Ebeling, Friedrich Koch, Eric Devise.
Okay.
I may have butchered all them names. I'm so sorry. German is very hard to pronounce.
Yes.
But that is who he is suspected of killing off. Yeah.
So just a few. I don't get how... They obviously had suspicions for quite a while. Like, why did they not step in sooner? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you get a suspicion. If, like, robbery, you're like, yeah, we'll leave it for a while. We'll catch him in the act. Mm. But actually murdering people, like, how many did they let him murder before they were like, yeah, we've got enough now?
I don't know.
Do you know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
To me, it seems like it went on for like months, maybe even like over a year.
It went over years.
Yeah. So, but how long did they suspect? They were like, did they send out surveillance? And you know, like when you watch the movies where they fall asleep in the car. Okay, I know they didn't have one, but like they fall asleep. And then they're like, oh shit, we missed it. We're going to wait till there comes another one now.
Maybe.
Because surely they see all these kids go in and they never go out.
No, they don't look at his apartment, especially one of them is an attic apartment. You're like, okay.
Yeah, but where they don't, it's not like if it's ground floor, they could have just hopped out a window. Mm. They're not hopping out the roof, are they?
Mm.
So you'd see them go in and never come out. Would you not be like, oh, where do they
especially
go?
Especially like after World War One, you're going to notice that there's a lot less men around anyway. So when like the next generation is starting to disappear, you're a bit like,
yeah, where have they all gone?
Yeah.
And all in the same space. Like, you know, if it was spread out across the whole of the city, but it seems to be quite confined.
Mm.
The ones in the railway station, yes, they're easy to get because they might have come from further out.
Mm. I think a lot of them were from the railway. It was like, he was an opportunist, I think, just taking the neighbours' kids.
He was very
kids.
Clever.
Oh, yeah.
He was a good conman.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I feel like the police could have caught him quite a bit earlier than they actually did. Yeah. I still, like, I know they need informants, but like, just use the petty thief ones. Don't use the full-blown murderers.
Yeah, because, like, I've had this case idea for, like, months, and I'm like, it's going to take a lot, and I don't know if I can do it. But then I was just like, I'll do it. But it's like, it shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, even for the time. Mm. You know, before, if you could say, like, because they didn't really have the forensics, that's how he managed to get away with it. But they clearly, like, knew for such a long time, and they're just like, nah, we'll wait.
Especially because,
we'll wait till we see the head fly out the window. Into the river, splash. Yeah, because how did people do that? Did not make a big splash.
Unless he did it in, like, the middle of the night.
Yeah, but even still.
I don't know.
And how were all the... Oh, no, actually, fair, it might have still been quite... stinky and smoggy. I was gonna say, like, did, like, not all the rivers, like, absolutely stink of rotting flesh?
I can't believe, like, they dredged the river and then there was all those bones in there.
I think there's a lot more bones in rivers than you that we want to know about.
You're like, oh, that's
especially
nice.
For the time, like, say if you mentioned about grave, you think grave robbers were still a big
especially
problem.
When they're not sure if they're like, oh, it was grave robbers, medical students. They weren't expecting a murderer.
Grave robbers, because I imagine a lot, they've dug them up and think, oh, these ones seem all right. They've took them and tried to sell them, and then they're like, no, this one's not good enough. And now you're like, well, I've got one, and you just think, oh, just stuff it in the river. You're not going to dig it, put it back in the grave, are you? You're not going to carry it all the way back. You just toss it in the river.
Yeah.
You would, wouldn't you?
Of course you would. I mean, yeah, you just put all that effort in, and then no one wants it. You're like, Oh, now I can't be seen with this. Just throw it in the river.
Yeah, what do I do with it? It's like littering, but... a really bad form of littering.
But yeah, it's not a nice case. Yes, he was guillotined. That's one of the other reasons why I wanted to do it, because it was kind of late.
Yeah, it was. I thought at this point, I forget. I know you'd mentioned it before when you did an episode on guillotine, but I forgot about that. I'm thinking, oh, they're only doing hanging. Not that that's any better, but...
No. It's just, guillotine in 1900. You're like, that doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't.
Because I wonder if he's one of the last. I can't remember. People listening, you need to go back to my guillotine episode.
I think, I want to say you said 60s and 70s. Because I remember being really shocked by it.
Yeah. Yes, I think it was in France, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Damn it. It's like, oh, maybe I got the last one. No, I didn't. Okay. Maybe one of the last German ones.
Maybe.
Unless it was Hans Granz who was the last one.
Yeah, because they had to wait another 12 years.
Like, how?
Yeah, that seems really shitty. Unless they were hoping, like, do imprisonment for 12 years, and then by that time, I don't know, they would have, like, lured it out, and then he can't be beheaded. That's what I'd be hoping if I was him. I'd be like, oh, hopefully if I'm good in my prison sentence, they might just decide not to chop my head off when I leave.
Hans Granz did make a comment to two of his female friends. I think they were all around Fritz's place.
Oh god, they're all, can you imagine, you all go around for drinks and there's the whole room's covered in blood. Like, imagine being in here and there's like blood everywhere. It's like, no one bothered.
I think it was probably cleaned up by then. But yeah, I can't remember, but Hans said something to one of the women, like, oh, this guy doesn't have much time left, meaning the other male friend, and then that one disappeared. So that's the one he's kind of might be connected to. Right, whether that was true or not, that was after the fact.
Okay.
So, it's not...
Hans Granz.
Hans Granz.
Must have known about it. There's no way he didn't.
But I think...
I feel like he was like, I'll help you, but he maybe said that, so he didn't die.
Exactly. I think he was an opportunist. He was living on the street. I mean... he was probably a victim of the crime. But like, what do you want? Do you want to live on the street, or do you want to...
I think he's one of them. He's probably like a victim then also became a perpetrator.
Yeah he might
because
not have been
was
aware
the only way to survive.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because if not, Hans isn't just gonna Fritz isn't just gonna let him walk out after he's seen him kill a few people.
No. Especially like, can you not bite my Adam's apple? It's like, okay.
It's a weird thing.
I know.
I swear it's cartilage. I might be wrong. I've never really thought about it, to be honest.
No. We need to touch a man's apple.
Yeah, it's quite hard.
It is quite hard. Imagine trying to bite it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's got to be like trying... Oh, no, I don't know. People bite people's noses off.
I feel like
and
biting...
ears off, and that's cartilage, isn't it?
Yeah, but I feel like
it's going to make crunch.
Yeah.
Oh. No, that's going to crunch when it goes. And then, like, blood just starts spurting out. And then he's like, oh, I'm knackered now.
That's when he keels over with ecstasy.
There you go, you
said
it.
I might edit out the earlier me
no,
trying to say
no, leave him in.
I can't say ecstasy.
Ecstasy.
Ecstasy. I can spell it, I just can't say it.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, that was a trial of a case, and I was like, oh. But
I don't want to say I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this case. It was a good one. I didn't know about it, but yeah.
I was hoping, even though I know it's like the vampire of Hanover or the butcher or the wolfman, I was like, oh, maybe it's going to be interesting. No. I don't like the Adam's apple bit.
I don't like that, and I don't like the fact that the police blatantly knew all that time. Like, they could have stopped him so much earlier.
I think maybe
Especially as he had history as well. It's not like he'd never been convicted of anything before.
Yeah, it's just out of the blue. But they're like, maybe we should look into this guy who actually has been arrested and been in jail for committing similar crimes.
Yeah, because you know if he was, like, petty theft? Like, yeah. Petty theft to murder is quite a big step, so you can go, no, I do need to gather a bit more evidence first. Yeah. But he's already been molestering people. He's been arrested for that morbid arms. He's escaped from a fucking mental asylum. Would you not think... Oh, yeah, there's quite a strong possibility he could be killing people off, you know? Like, I'd be a bit like, yeah, no, I think he'd be my first suspect.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, no, I've got to wait. Yeah, I do wonder if they were trying to catch him in the act and then the people that were doing the surveillance just fell asleep and they're like, shit, we forgot to get the evidence. So we'll just tell him he didn't do it.
Or maybe they were watching him, but because he knew everyone, that's why they brought the ones from Berlin in. So maybe they were trying to capture him. But
and he got a bit too wise to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they're like, okay, fine, we'll get you.
Mm, yeah, maybe.
But yeah, it's a case, for sure.
Yes. On that note.
Yes.
In the meantime.
Keep creeping.
And we'll keep digging.